Ghostly Talk! Broadcasting from the world-famous Haunted Winery here in Warren, Michigan, this is Ghostly Talk on August 28th, 2007.
Ghostly Talk is usually independently produced on Sunday nights from 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Of course, it is a Tuesday night. Tonight for a special show. For more information, go to www.ghostlytalk.com.
We try to write a script for this, but it doesn't work. Here, I'll take care of
this part.
There's
only one copy, but you do the next one.
Tonight.
Yes. What's going on tonight?
A very special discussion with the legendary, I should say, Chip Coffee.
Corrupt, I listen to now.
Thanks. I need to go someplace where I can see.
Balanced news coverage. Real people with real lives in your dramas and on your talk shows. And if we don't get it, we'll make it ourselves. Don't hate the media, become the media.
I need to go someplace where a man can.
Back in the studio.
I'm doing Ghostly Talk twice a week now. This is a very special Tuesday edition of Ghostly Talk.
Oh, yes, it is.
It definitely is. Because Chip Coffee is an internationally acclaimed psychic, medium, paranormal investigator, lecturer, and writer. He's the great-grandson of famed Native American medicine woman Minnie Sue Morrow Foster. Chip was born in upstate New York. Oh, I've been there. I looked for Bigfoot there, as a matter of fact. Spent much of his childhood in South Carolina. Nope, I was to North Carolina. And now resides in the suburbs of Atlanta, Georgia. And I have been there, and I have been on Kennesaw Mountain. That's all I can say. His website is www.chipcoffee.com. Chip Coffee, welcome to Ghostly Talk.
It is so good to be here with both of you.
You say that now.
Give me 54 more minutes and that opinion could change.
Exactly.
Well, here's what I want to lead off with. I have to lead off with this because anybody that listens to Ghostly Talk, your name's been coming up a lot with a lot of the events that are coming up, like the conventions and whatnot over the next few months. You're participating in a lot of these, so your name's been coming up in a lot with some of the people we've been talking to on the show previously. And we said this a couple of times, and you remember this, Doug. We're like, you know, Chip Coffee. We've known who Chip Coffee is forever, right? We admire this guy. He's great, but he's like other people we've had on the show. Finally, right? He's just one of those people we have not butted heads with yet. And he's somebody we're always like, oh, that guy's awesome. We got to get him on sometime.
It's like passing in the night. Never have actually approached you and said, hey, Chip.
Yeah, let's.
We want you on the show. Never worked out.
So we're giddy about having you on, Chip. That's the point.
It is
very
exciting.
Well, you know, that's the story of my life. Always the bridesmaid, never the bride. I hear you. I don't know what's up with that, but, you know. I must have been really bad in a former life or something because karma's biting me in the ass, you know?
You've got this, like, indelible shield around you. Just everybody, veers away. But we didn't mean to, Chip.
No, we didn't mean to. We love
it
you,
It just
Chip.
Worked out that way. We're just shocked that this is the first time. But we're actually, I'm very, very happy because, you know what? It's just, 2 months away?
It's coming up quick.
2 months away, and we're going to see you at UnivCon.
That's wonderful.
That is,
you know, I've never been to UnivCon. They are taking a great Great risk, and I laugh at that. For me to go and host this thing, I laugh about that. You know, I'm going to do a great job, I hope, crossing fingers. But, I've never been, so I don't know what to expect. But there's a part of that that's also very exciting, because I can be excited with everybody who's there because it is my first time.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. We're going to be excited. It's
It's our first time, too, but I think that instead of I've never been, so I don't know what to expect, that's not the kind of sentence formation that we talk about around here.
We
always say we've never been to that conference, so they don't know what they're in for. That's how that sentence goes around here with Ghostly Talk. So
I think I'm scared already.
Yeah. Actually, the mayhem planned for UniffCon, they're going to keep us too busy.
Yeah,
it's a humongous event.
What they've laid on us just before the conference was enough to choke a horse. So we're like, okay, when we get there, we're scared of what we're going to have. We're looking forward to it all.
They're
going
to keep us so busy that we won't be able to cause trouble and mayhem, which is kind of sad, but it'll still be a fun.
Why am I doubting that you two will find them? I think that's hitting me from a very psychic source that you two will eke out the time
somehow. Well, we have help. We have help.
Yeah, we have a whole crew of people.
We have a whole crew.
Sisters.
Yes.
Have you conjured up this help? That's what I want.
Sometimes we think so.
See, but some of the people that work with us, we wonder if they are from a different dimension sometimes because of some of the actions they do. But
I'll bring holy water.
Yes, good idea.
Chip, there's a lot of things going on, obviously, in your camp, besides, obviously, being a part of Unicon this year.
A big part.
You're working on something called Paranormal State also.
Now, this is a project that the Unicon folks are involved in as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing project. I do want to know more about it.
Actually, it's a story. It's a show, I should say. It's a series that is going to be produced on the A&E Network, and it's supposed to start airing, from what we understand, sometime around the beginning of 2008, and it covers the work and the lives of the students who are members of the Penn State Paranormal Research Society,
mm-hmm.
A group of wonderful young people that I've had the opportunity to work with several times. Great group of people. They are young. They are hip. They are students at the school or former students of the school, and they are also very serious paranormal researchers. So that's the thrust of the show, going and helping people who are in need, making sure that they do everything that they can for people who are going through some sort of paranormal activity in their house. And I was fortunate enough to be asked to come in on 4 episodes of the first season of shows.
Oh, wow.
That's fantastic. And is this the first video project you've done, or have you done others?
I actually did a couple of things prior to this. I did a pilot episode for a show called Eternal Connections
that I
was an executive producer on, and my ghost hunting partner, Patty Starr, and I did one appearance on a show called Airline, which is also on the A&E Network. We did that about 2 years ago.
I love Airline. That's like, oh my gosh. I just want to go and hang around Chicago Midway.
I heard that deep inhale, and there was like,
Here comes the story. Yeah.
But I'm like, whoa, okay, Doug is happy.
Well, I'm telling you, first of all, I know somebody who works for that particular airline that it shot around. I don't know if we can say it on the air, but we can. It's Southwest. Anyway, so I know somebody who works there, and but he works in Indianapolis. So I don't think they've ever filmed in Indy, but they've filmed in like Chicago, LA, and I think Houston Hobby,
Baltimore,
and so they've filmed in different places. I so want to move to Chicago for like a month and just live in the airport with these people because they have the craziest jobs.
ask me offline and I'll give you the name of the production company that does it and the producer, so you can get in touch with them and be a star yourself.
Oh, thank you. That would be awesome.
Excellent.
But this is the first one that you've worked 4 episodes, and what's it like being followed around by the camera? How does it make things different?
I try to ignore it.
Good idea.
Actually, that's kind of, I try as much as I can to ignore it. A little difficult sometimes because you got a mic pack on, you've got cameras right in your face, you've got a boom guy there sometimes doing things, and the crew's all around you. But you focus, I think it's a matter of focus. You focus in on the job that you're there to do, on the task at hand. And you just, you eventually get to the point to where you don't even think about the fact that you've got cameras following you around.
That's the way to do it.
And that's exactly the way to do it, because I've seen some, independent, and I love independent movies and independent DVDs, but the things that people are making, I absolutely love it. But sometimes you can tell that filming and investigating. How come I'm getting an echo?
I don't know. It just came in for no reason.
Interesting. But filming and investigating, they seem to be at odds with each other. But for you, you were able to tune it out and concentrate on exactly the task at hand. And I really, really admire that.
Well, it's pretty interesting, because if you're a psychic and you've worked any sort of psychic fairs or anything like that, you are often in a big room. You've got a lot of different energies around. And if you can't almost sequester yourself in that sort of an environment and sort of keep your energy really tight and close to you, and sort of create your own little space within that huge, humongous space that you're in, then you're going to get bombarded by so much energy that you're not going to be effective at what you're trying to do. So that's the way I kind of imagine things, that it's in a smaller environment, and I tune out everything else that's around me and focus on things that are tighter and closer to me.
Sounds like it worked well. I cannot wait to see Paranormal State on A&E.
Well, we went on some very interesting cases, and they won't allow me to talk about many of them, but I will tell you that, because, you know, they've kind of sworn me to secrecy. We did a blood pact or something, I think.
Wow, but they're tough over there.
They are. They were tough on me, I've got to tell you. But no, they wonderful group of people from everyone that I've met, from the network down to the people that were working on the crew. I mean, amazing, amazing people to work with. But we went on four cases, one in upstate New York, one in Pennsylvania. We went on a case in Las Vegas in Nevada, and went on a case in West Virginia. And it was an amazing, amazing time. The thing was that almost every opportunity that we had, even in Vegas shooting at night, it got really cold. So we were shooting in the dead of winter. So we froze our butts off on most of the shoots. That was I would have to say that was only the only down thing about going on the shoots, was it was so cold. But, you know, we had a really good time shooting, helped a lot of people, and it was one of the best experiences I've ever had.
Wow, that is fantastic. It's going to be so cool, because when I'm sitting there watching it, I'll tell my housemate, I'll be like, dude, I know these people. I went to their conference. You know, I talked to Chip on the radio. The kids, the you know, university students.
The Penn State people.
I was to their conference. I mean, it's going to be so exciting to watch.
What's really cool about this is they are actually at DragonCon. We talked a little bit about DragonCon off air, and DragonCon is a huge convention that's happening in Atlanta this weekend on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Mm-hmm. And what I described DragonCon as adult Disneyland on crack.
Wow.
And what happens is, like, 10 to 15,000 really, how do I say this nicely, unique individuals take over the city of Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Comic book fans, sci-fi fans, horror fans, paranormal fans, they take over the city of Atlanta. So you see stormtroopers and fairies and gnomes and elves and, you know, people from the Middle Earth, they're wandering around in downtown Atlanta.
It sounds like my high school when I was in high school, but yeah.
Very, very similar, I think.
Yeah.
But it's just an amazing convention with thousands and thousands of people. And the good thing about this convention is, for the first time, A&E Network and Paranormal State has a presence at this convention, and they are going to show a short trailer type clip from one of the episodes I did at this convention.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
That's going on this weekend, you said.
They're doing that on Saturday, from what I understand, and they've asked me to sit on the panel because evidently they're going to show some clips that have something to do with me. So they've asked me and some of the people that are actually the regulars on the show to sit on a panel after the clip is shown.
We might have to book this. This is obviously
I would
an
love to get down there, but I can't get down to Atlanta this weekend.
Oh, I'm not doing there's it this no weekend. There's no way I could do that, but maybe next year we might have to plan for that.
Dragon Con?
Yeah.
Labor Day weekend, why
next
not?
Year?
I'm there.
You guys can come and stay at my house. I have a haunted bedroom. You guys can stay here.
Oh, that'll be perfect.
All right, that's even, now there's
you
the incentive.
Stick us in the haunted bedroom, we're good to go.
Now, you know, one thing I got to mention too. We mentioned on the site that it was gonna be you and Patty Starr on the show tonight. But Patty, she got really sick. Am I correct, Chip?
Patty's not feeling well at all. She's come down with a really bad cold and some laryngitis, and she was going to do the show with me this evening. But unfortunately, she's sick and not able to be here with us this evening. But we send her good wishes and hope that she gets better real fast.
Well, I have to say this a second time, because now my own, over the past weekend, even when I was doing Ghostly Talk on Sunday, I had an earache.
It was
a nasty earache, and so I got like it, and I think it was, you know, sinus kind of related or something.
It's weather
back
and
got
forth.
Blocked up and that kind of thing. So something's happening. I mean, we're just all, it's a big change. You know, the season's getting ready to change. It'll change next month.
Well, so. God, all day today I've been sniffling all day today just because of Chip, you're not here, obviously, but here in Michigan, we had like the worst rainstorm ever
last weekend,
Friday.
Yeah,
it was raining all last week. It was totally just, you know, it was muggy out all. And that's the environment that I thrive in, though. I'm a lizard by heart, I think, or something like that.
If I didn't live there, I'd have to check myself for mold.
Give him a rainforest and give me a warm rock in the desert.
I'm hearing you.
But no, when
I'm hearing you. With me, it's the beach. Put me on the beach.
There you go.
The muggy environment's good for me. And then the weather changed this week. And all day today, you can probably hear it in my voice, I'm sinusy right now because I've been sneezing all day long and my eyes are all
Well, no, that's what all these knobs are for on this big
Oh, so you adjusted
board.
It to nasally?
Yeah, you adjust it so they're not hearing any nasally stuff.
I hope
Well,
not.
You hear me, I've been clearing my throat several times. I apologize for that. But I've got the same thing, a little bit of the sinus thing going. And so, you know, I think that you're right. It is. We've had a lot of rain here for the past few days, but it's been unbearably hot here. I live in Atlanta,
and
it's been unbearably hot, like 104, 105.
Wow.
We were in, just for conversation's sake, we were in Louisville a couple weekends ago, Louisville, Kentucky.
I think that's where Patty's, is that
Lexington,
where it goes?
Lexington.
Oh, she's in Lexington.
Yeah, Patty.
The other
Lexington.
L. Yeah. Yes, okay.
And we got a call from Keith H. from the Louisville Ghost Hunter Society a couple days before we were coming out there, and he's like, I'm just warning you right now, Scott. It's like 105 degrees right now.
And you know what? I think I probably followed you because I was there last week, and I'm telling you, it was hot. Were you at the Waverly?
What's that?
Yeah,
no.
We were at
there was a concert there a couple weeks ago.
Oh, a concert.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you been to the Waverly?
Yeah, well, we actually went there with a band. Like, that day we were at the concert, one of the bands playing at the concert. Called Guar.
Guar.
They managed to get us a tour through Waverly, so us and the band went and walked through Waverly for about an hour and a half. So yeah,
well,
we've been through there.
So you've gone down to the laundry room where the souvenir shop and all that stuff is.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's where Darkest Radio had a Darkest Events had an event down there last week,
mm-hmm.
and my good buddy Tiffany Johnson, who is also a psychic and a medium, we actually did our readings for people who were attending that convention. We did our readings inside the Waverly.
Oh wow.
My gosh.
Did that, now that's an interesting, now bringing that up, that's an interesting idea. This may be a ridiculous question too, but did you, I mean, as far as doing a reading in a place like Waverly Hills, which is, you know, notoriously reported haunted all the time, do you feel that anything, like, how would you say? I'm trying to get the proper verbiage.
Well, my question, did you get any interference? But also,
or, yeah, just like, you know, the power.
But
of
also,
that.
Yeah, the power of the place. Like, how, obviously, something about that place allows, you know, or makes it so that these ghosts can hang around, right?
Right?
And there's several other places that I can name, you know, there's Sedona, Arizona, which is a place of power. There's the Mansfield Prison and the other one, there's of all of Gettysburg. So obviously,
yeah, there's lots of places.
Some huge tragedy or emotion or something like that, plus the place. I mean, does the place have pretty much anything to do with it, or is it just the sheer emotion and human tragedy?
Yeah.
I think it's kind of all of the above. I think that one contributes to the other. I think that for some reason, some people, when they pass away, feel attached to a location, and I believe that the Waverly, in particular, as well as many of the other places you named, I believe that they have a variety of different types of hauntings. I believe that they have active or intelligent hauntings, as well as residual stuff that's gone there that's just, the landscape or the walls, if you will, or the energy that's there has absorbed the emotions that have gone on there, and that things can sometimes repeat themselves within the confines of that area.
And then every so often it boom, repeats itself, and there you are.
Yeah, right.
Sometimes on a schedule and sometimes not, from what I've heard.
Well, interestingly enough, when Tiff and I did readings in this one particular room, we did readings in a room that was very close to the old cafeteria, and they had the area set up for a murder mystery that they were doing in that area, in that room, a stage area. Mm-hmm. And we did our readings in that room, in two separate areas of that room, and later that night they did their first investigation there, and that was the room where they had most of the activity. So another answer to your question is, it seems as though Tiffany and I may have stirred up some energy by being there as psychics and doing our readings in that area, since that was a very active area later during the investigation.
Well, and that's another thing.
That's both ways. What I was trying to think of is, you know, would affect your ability in any way being in a place like that? But it goes both ways too, where it sounds like, you know, you could actually, like you just said a second ago, stir things up by accessing something like this too, it sounds like.
And again, we were very, you know, as we talked about doing readings in an environment where you have to sort of keep things close to yourself. Tiff and I were both concerned about the fact that, you know, what sort of impact is this environment going to have on us doing readings right inside the sanitarium, or the sanatorium rather, and really neither one of us had any detrimental effect by that environment. I think we were both a little guarded that we might, but fortunately neither one of us did.
That is excellent, because I mean, there could be anything crawling around that place. That place is pretty creepy.
I've seen shadow people. This was actually my second time there. I've seen shadow people when I was there for the first time. This time I was actually in the space with Charlie, one of the owners there, and I looked in one of the rooms, and there was a young guy standing, leaned up against the wall. He had on a pair of jeans and a white T-shirt, dark haired. I thought he must have looked at, you know, I saw him very briefly, must have been in his 20s or something. I briefly looked away at Charlie, the owner, again. He had said something. I looked at him, and he basically said a couple of things to me. I looked back, and the guy was gone. Full body apparition.
Wow.
See, you know,
and in that place, I can believe it. First of all, there is some kind of energy in places like that, because so many people are going there with the intent of, you know, hopefully capturing, you know, making a spirit photograph, you know, getting a spirit on photograph, or getting that EVP, or, you know, doing something that will have great meaning to them and possibly others, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, so you go there with that intent, right? Already it's got, you know, the horrible conditions there, the, you know, tunnel of death and all that stuff. The whole place is just, you know, ripe for a haunting.
Oh, yeah.
And so what you have is you've got quite a confluence when things come together?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then you guys go in and start doing, you know, basically opening your senses that, you know, and evidently that looks like a beacon, you know, when to the other side. It's like,
that's what we've been told.
Hello, we want some information. And then, you know, all of a sudden everybody comes in. So what happens is it sounds like that probably was the night to go ghost hunting at Waverly.
They tell us that was, like I said, they said that was one of the most active places in the whole facility that evening, where they got a whole lot of results. Was in the room where Tiff and I were doing our readings. And, you know, that's kind of nice to hear that the energies that were there may have felt attracted, I can't say definitely, but they may have felt attracted to our energy and hung out in that area with the foreknowledge that they were going to come back and investigate, and they did get the good results.
Right, and, well, look at this. I mean, you weren't using, were you using scientific equipment, or were you using your faculties when you were doing your stuff?
We were just doing our general psychic medium stuff.
So, and then later on that evening, I assume the ghost hunters came in with their
equipment.
Heavy equipment. You know, I've got thermometers, and I've got the EMF detectors, jackhammers and saws. I've got video cameras of all shapes and sizes and models. Things to take photographs. You know, things to record EVPs. They brought in all this equipment, right? And the equipment basically pinpointed where you were. Tell me something wasn't going on.
I would love to say that we're the ones that did it, and, you know, I'd love to be able to take credit for that. And, you know, my ego will allow me to say that I think we in some way facilitated the results that they got that evening. Yeah. So, yeah, that's kind of the way that I would put it. I think we kind of helped open the doors for them to get the results that they got for the investigation that first evening.
Or, of course, it was a magnificent but happy coincidence, right? I mean, that's the worst that can happen is that it was a great coincidence. That,
as I often say, I may not be able to understand it or explain it, but I can't deny it. So the reality of it is we were in that room earlier in the day. They got good results that night. You draw your own conclusion.
I think it's fantastic. Well, I would have loved to have gone ghost hunting there.
Well, we often talk about the marriage between the psychic side of investigating these places, along with the hard, tool side of it, the thermometers and the recorders and the cameras and all that stuff. And, there's a lot of groups out there, and I encourage this. I think it's a great way to do things is, they bring in both, obviously. They bring in both sides of that, and they use both those as tools to try to to document something, obviously.
Absolutely.
And that's, that sounds like exactly what happened that night. I mean, you guys were there hanging out for a little while, and we don't know what happened. Again, we don't know what happened. You just said that also, Chip. You guys did your thing, and then they brought in the hard zeros and one tools to see if they could record anything. And that's, again, it's just a happy marriage between technology and spirituality.
See, and that's like what you're doing with Patty, right?
Exactly what we're doing.
Yeah.
She is the scientific. We came together with her being the scientific and me being the sensitive. And, it was a very good collaboration, a very good marriage of two different modalities, and that's the way we approach things. She has all the bells and whistles and the meters and the cameras and all that stuff, and I go in as just another instrument. I never call myself a tool for obvious reasons.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, an instrument is a much better
Instrument is a
word.
Much better word.
Yes, yes.
If anybody calls me a tool, I get a little upset.
Yeah, it does sound,
But
yeah.
I'm just, I go in as another form of data collector. And that's what my job is. And hopefully the things that I pick up and can get from that psychic mediumship part of myself can be substantiated and has numerous times over by Patty or other investigators that I'm with their meters and equipment. If I say shoot over here, they generally get some sort of anomaly or their meters will go off or there will be something that goes on.
Yeah.
So that's really cool when those two different aspects come together in tandem.
Well, for the people that are out there in the field working, I think it's the best option to take.
Well,
it's
a very open-minded option.
You're covering all the bases, too.
Not everybody will agree.
No, they
because
won't.
There's some groups who are, if it's not on film or on tape, and it's that's valid, too. I mean, mm-hmm. if you catch a full-figure apparition on tape, okay, or on film or mm-hmm. on, it's something like that, and then you show the world.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. I mean, that's great. Mm-hmm. But I like the valid way for people to think. If they want that hard data, then there you go. Go get the hard data. Not a problem. But you might be missing out on an opportunity to learn more about that particular location than you ever thought you'd ever learn in one, what is it, a 3-hour, 5-hour,
whatever,
even a 10-hour
the block is, exactly.
And that's the point exactly, I think. I think I serve as a beacon or a magnet to the spirit energy that's around there. I think that they recognize my light or my energy or whatever word you want to use. Mm-hmm. And with me being there, what's to say that my energy, they're not drawn to that energy, and therefore they're going to manifest more heavily or more clearly than they would if you don't have a psychic such as myself or a medium such as myself there on premises. Mm-hmm. I think that we can serve a purpose as long as you don't go in and try to be the star of the show or whatever. You've got to realize that you've got your job to do, you've got your duties to perform, and not try to, be overindulgent of your abilities or try to take over the investigation. And I've seen that happen with other psychics.
I would like to talk about that a little bit, if you don't mind, Chip. That's an interesting subject. We've talked about that a couple times here in the past.
Right. However,
we got to take a quick break.
The bottom of the hour.
Yeah, we're going to take a quick break here, Chip, all right? So just hang tight for a second, all right?
You got it.
We're going to play something really cool here. I forgot that I had this on
what
this
is
computer.
It?
This is a band. This is like one of the first independent bands we ever played on this show, and this is before we even started doing like the independent band thing.
Excellent.
And I've actually broke out some of this stuff, like out of the vault. You know, the old ghostly talk vault we got.
Yeah.
And I,
you remembered the comm for the vault.
I had to blow it up. I'm sorry. Oh, okay. I had to blow it right open. It's a band called Alien XSS.
Oh, I remember that.
They're a techno band. But yes. Obviously, you know, when you listen to techno, which is people don't know that too much about me, is that I do enjoy trance and techno music and stuff like that.
Yeah, because you look like a raver.
Well, yeah, I know. Yeah. I have the little popsicle things around my, you know.
Of course.
I wear my hair in little bow ties or whatever they do now and stuff like
oh,
that.
They're crazy.
This is some really interesting stuff. It's you know, it's the trance stuff. But these guys are really into like ufology and stuff like that too.
I remember that.
So they incorporate this into their music, and it's a lot of fun to listen to. So I figured, you know what? Well, just for this break, for these bonus shows, we don't really do any type of commercial sequences or anything like that. So we're just gonna play this tune. It's a couple minutes long.
Coming up, yep. Alien XSS.
No, it's Alien XSS.
Two S's.
Two S's.
Okay, Alien XSS.
The song's called Shiva's Dream. Thank you. All right, okay, all right. Hey, yeah, this is The Rock. You know, we do these bonus shows. I always, you know, we don't really do any commercial. You know, everything's like, you know, set up for the shows, our regular right. shows, you know, where we it's all been set up and sequenced out. We have our bump liner music and all that fun stuff. On these shows, it's a little more laid back, and we just play music and stuff like that. So when we come out of that, I feel like we're playing, we're doing some...
Wolf Man Jack.
Yeah, yeah, some like, you know, like some music show or something like that. And I'm supposed to like, you know, hey, okay, that was Alien XSS with Shiva's Dream, yeah, or whatever. So this is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
And we are on the phone with Chip Coffee. He's been nice enough to come join us finally after all these years. We finally
talked to Chip. Shocked that it took so long, and it took a fantastic event such as the upcoming UnivCon to make us actually it's like, hey, wait a minute,
let's get Chip
why
on
haven't
the show.
We talked to Chip on the show. So www.chipcoffee.com, that's chipcoffey.com is his website. Chip,
before the break actually we were talking about you know, psychics going into haunted places and doing work along with, you know, ghost hunting people. I mean, I don't know how you would, you know, scientifically oriented ghost hunting groups. There's the big term for the day. But we were talking about psychics like yourself coming there and doing work like that. One of the things that you mentioned, which kind of my antlers popped up, I guess, was that sometimes a psychic, some psychics, they go in there and more or less, I'd like to give your experience.
I've seen this happen. I've seen this happen where the psychic comes in and
I don't even know how to say it. Right.
Basically takes center stage. Now, there's two things at fault there, okay? The psychic is allowing him or herself mm-hmm. to become center stage.
Yeah.
Oh, this was, you know, and they're probably playing it up a little bit, you know. Scene of a great battle, you know, the Indians and the settlers and blah, blah, blah. And they'll go on and on. Or you know, but they'll... every human want... You know, it's a human emotion or a human reaction to desire... attention, you know, you want attention. You want somebody to say, oh, good job. You know, that kind of thing. I mean, if you don't believe me, read Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies. So it's just a basic human thing is that recognition is just so desirable, right? Mm-hmm. So you're doing something and people are taking notice. Then on the other side, if, you know, ghost hunters, if they're out there and they're like with their EMF detectors and things like that, and then all of a sudden they get distracted mm-hmm. by what the psychic medium is doing, they let themselves get distracted by that. So it's a two-way street there.
Yeah, it is.
But I have seen that happen, Chip.
It unfortunately does happen, but again, you've got to go in with the whole idea that you are not the star of the show. You are there as part of a team. I'll give you a great example of something that happened to me once. This should give you a laugh. I was at an investigation during a convention in Las Vegas a couple of years ago, and there was a TV crew there from an ABC affiliate, and they had been following someone else around, and we got to a location where supposedly a little boy had died near a little playground type park situation. And he supposedly came back, and the swing that he would frequently swing on had been seen to just go swing by itself, and psychics had felt his energy there. And we stopped there, and I went over, as I usually do, and put out my right hand to feel the energy to see if I could feel any sort of disturbance or energy in that area. And I said, yeah, I'm getting something here. I'm feeling some sort of an energy around this swing there. So I was agreeing with what had been said before. Well, the camera crew heard about it, and this other psychic who was from North Carolina, I believe, she was standing nearby. And when she saw the cameras coming, she literally shoved myself out of the way, and she was there and put her hand over the swing like I did. And in her best Southern drawl, she said, I feel that little boy by this swing. He's here. He's so sad. He's so sad. And she boo-hooed up the form. Now, I just rolled my eyes and with a couple of people walked off right by the sound guy who had the boom, and I said, somebody needs to hose that bitch down with holy water.
So I take it you weren't impressed with her.
Well, there I think is, if you looked in the dictionary under bad psychic, I think you probably would see her picture in that incident cited.
Wow, that's amazing. Did that make it on the TV?
I don't know if it did or not. I never saw the cut of that. But I know that the sound guy got, as I was passing by him, he must have heard what I said. I don't know if he got it on tape or on sound or not, but he was laughing his butt off.
I believe it. Yeah, well, I have to say, when we were on TV, we were on in, as a matter of fact, we talked about this briefly. We were in Point Pleasant, West Virginia last year.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were there for the Mothman Festival, which, by the way, Mothman Festival coming up, when is it? Like next month or the month after?
We're talking to Jeff this weekend, actually.
Yeah, there you go.
We forgot the date again?
I always forget the date. But it's, what is it, November? Or no,
September.
September
15th. I was supposed to go and can't.
Oh, man.
We're going to be there. We're hosting.
We're emceeing the event this year.
But what we have is... we were there last year, and the camera guy came up, and it was just him. I don't think there was like an attendant reporter. I think
he just had the camera.
Like,
he was the whole package, right? Yeah.
And he comes up and he's asking us about the Mothman. Of course, we know nothing about the Mothman. So, I mean, not that we don't know anything, because we do. We, you know, talk to so many people about it, and we're fascinated by the Mothman, but we're not the experts. So I decided to take the interview in a little bit of a different direction, and I told him, I said, the thing is about, you know, this festival is that it's honoring, you know, the people of West Virginia and Ohio are honoring the events. They're honoring the people who, you know, perished in that crash, the crash of the Silver Bridge when it fell down.
Yep.
They're honoring their history. They're honoring a legend, you know, what could be just a childhood legend, but they're honoring this folklore, this unique thing about their area. And excuse me, and I'm all for that, and I'm going to do everything I can to help them out and celebrate every year that I can possibly be here.
Yeah, and I stood behind him and acted tough.
Yeah, he was my homeboy.
I stood behind him with my sunglasses on,
looking
and my hair
tough,
blowing
yeah.
in the wind.
That worked out really well.
And, thanks, Doug.
And so, so of course, you know, that was the soundbite that was one of several soundbites, but that was definitely chosen for the news. Well, we went out to dinner afterwards at this place that starts with a B, and with some new friends. We all went out to dinner, and then we're like, okay, well, we got to get back for the, what was it, a 7 o'clock news?
It was 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock news.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was 10 o'clock.
10
because
or
we still went out after that. We went out.
Maybe it was the 10 o'clock news.
But anyway, so we had to make it back to the hotel. So we went back to the hotel and we watched the TV to see what made the cut.
Yeah, and we made it.
We made it.
I couldn't believe we made it.
We were there.
We got very lucky on that one, Chip.
Good deal.
So that's what you're supposed to do. If you're on camera, you've got to run back to, or if someone you know, or if somebody you thought is hilarious is on camera, you should run back to the hotel and watch the thing. I thought that was how you're supposed to do it.
Well, you know, this lady certainly, the one in Las Vegas, she was certainly going to get herself on camera. There was no doubt that if there was a camera nearby, she was going to be on.
And she's going to get an Emmy for it, too.
I'll be watching the broadcast next year to see if she's there.
The daytime Emmy or nighttime Emmy Awards.
Well, does that make it harder on the rest of you guys, though? I mean, like we mentioned before, there are some bad psychics out there, Chip. And we've talked about this in the past with some people. And I know that one of the trait characteristics of that is just what we talked about. And I've seen it myself, you know, numerous times in places we've been to, where someone just has to take over the whole investigation and make everyone sit around them and let him or her tell the story.
But it's their fault and the ghost hunter's fault. I don't think it's just.
Oh yeah,
the psychic
no, you're.
Because,
I agree. Yeah.
For example, I know some scientific ghost hunters who, if there's a psychic, I don't care if the psychic is floating in midair telling the story. Okay.
Yeah.
They're just going to totally ignore them and continue doing their work.
Yeah, yeah.
And then if what they perceive, you know, they'll be like, all right, well, you know, you got this, that, and the other thing. These are the facts that came out of that speech or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we're going to chase them down, but here's what happened with my equipment while you were doing that. You know, I got this, I got that, you know. So, I mean, I know very scientific-minded people who are able to disassociate themselves from any grandstanding.
Does that make it harder on the rest of you, though, Chip? I mean, I'm sure it does. It would have to, as far as, you know. Well, do you know what I'm saying? Is concerning that. I mean, does it make it harder on you guys to go out there and do what you guys do?
Are people expecting that grandstanding like that lady does?
Yeah, there you go.
I think that just as with any profession, I think that there are good psychics and there are bad psychics, just like there are good doctors, good and bad doctors, good dentists, bad dentists, good hair cutters.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
There's good radio show, radio talk show hosts, and there's bad radio talk show hosts, by the way.
Yes, there are.
Yes, there are. And,
what are you alluding to, Doug?
Yes, there are.
We
know to which one I am on their show right now.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, you found
the
good one.
We know that. That's not a matter of ego. That's just good, healthy self-appreciation.
Oh, I have to get a T-shirt that says that. I'm telling you.
I'm not egotistical. I just appreciate that.
I just have a healthy sense of appreciation.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, we do have to live down the bad ones, so to speak, and that's not putting anybody down. But those who have to go out and like you said, grandstand or make themselves the star of the show, the center of attention, they make it difficult on those of us who are legitimate team members, because we've got to many psychic groups, paranormal groups rather, will not have a psychic come in with them just for that reason. They don't want to have it thought that they're data or their findings are in any way sullied by anything that's on the sensitive side. They want it to be strictly scientific.
Yeah.
And even though we have made inroads into saying we are legitimate parts of your team, those grandstanding psychics make it hard for us because they make groups reluctant to have a sensitive on board.
Yeah, exactly.
And I can see that. The thing is I'm wondering if they're not missing an opportunity. Because if you come up with a name to research or an event that was previously unknown, like, I think there was a fire here. I don't know. I just made that up. You know, just something I heard. Mm-hmm. I think there's a fire here. And then they're like, no, there's nothing I've read said there's a fire here or anything like that. And then somebody, you know, might find actual evidence, like, a supporting beam or something with some charred marks along it, or or they might go and do some research and find out that indeed there was a fire there. I mean, you know, any kind of information that can be verified. I just think that would be very helpful, and so perhaps people are missing the opportunity.
Yeah,
I agree.
Well,
get that information.
I will give you a preview of a coming attraction with Paranormal State, if I may.
Okay.
If they'll let you, yes.
I think they will. I don't think I'll be castrated for saying that.
Oh, excellent, excellent.
I hope not. Here's one thing that happened, an example of how I believe that psychics can be valuable on cases like this. We were at an investigation in New York, and I guess this was one of the ones in Pennsylvania, and there was an entity in this house. And we were sitting trying to do an EVP session, and what they call this in Paranormal State is called dead time. We were sitting there doing dead time and trying to get EVP or see if spirits would come to us during a few quiet moments. And all of a sudden, I picked up an entity that was trying to communicate with me, and that entity let me know its name, and I was told, don't say the name out loud, which I did not. But when I wrote the entity's name down, it caused quite a commotion with what was going on there, because it was something that evidently had extreme significance to several people that were working on that case. So that was one of those moments where it was like, how the hell did that happen?
Uh-huh.
And it completely, for a while, shut down taping. It was such a reveal that it completely shut down taping.
Wow. See, and if folks don't, if they're not going to open their minds and try this, they might lose that opportunity to have such a connective moment. I mean,
Absolutely. That
really had to clear their, you know, like clear the air and say, oh my gosh, something's going on. I mean, let's really dig in now. I think that's a fantastic moment to have while ghost hunting.
It was great. It was one of those things they were saying, how did you know this? You couldn't possibly know this. And I did my best Sylvia Brown, and I said, well, you know, honey, I am a psychic, so, you know.
I actually
do that better than I do.
Have you ever seen Sylvia in one of her tours?
Yeah.
I went to see her in her Earth Mysteries tour. Was it last year or the year before? It was probably a couple years ago. In Cleveland, Ohio. And I was actually, I have to say, I admit it, I'm... You know, I'm old enough, I can admit this. I was making a little bit of fun beforehand, right? because she does open herself up to be, you know, somebody who's as, you know, comedic as I am. We do tend
to... No, say it ain't so.
No, really, sometimes. sometimes this happens. And I accidentally sometimes maybe might have poked a little fun at her. But just among friends, not on the show that I know of. Oh, no. Yeah, even on the show.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I went to see her. And I have to tell you, while she was speaking, I was literally on the edge of my chair. It was like a stadium chair, so it wasn't very comfortable anyway. But I was literally on the edge of it, hanging on her every word. She was fascinating. And I never in a million billion years thought that I would say that when I walked out. I mean, I never thought that when I was walking in. I mean, I never thought I would say I found her fascinating. But she really has lived an amazing life, and she was talking about it, and I was enraptured by her stories. She has stories upon stories upon stories, and I thrive on that. I just love. I would be. What's ringing?
No, it's just my stupid phone.
Your cell phone is on during Ghostly Talk.
I'm sorry. I'm gonna get Doc.
Wait, let me
that.
Go check mine.
Sorry, Chip.
I was in the middle of a story. Mine's off.
Huh. Well, I'm sorry, all right?
I'm going to have to look in the manual, yeah.
You mean our contracts?
Yeah, I'm going to have to look at the contracts.
What were you saying, Doug?
I was just saying that I was very impressed with her, that's all. Now you've taken the wind out of my
Oh, great. Oh, oh, thanks, Doug. Yeah,
what
it's all
really
my...
What he really was wanting to say, let the psychic step in here. Yeah. What he was really wanting to say, and what I'm reading that his soul is saying, is that he wants Sylvia.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's hot.
Yes, I want her. Well, she's something, all right.
We want Sylvia.
But I would like to talk with her once. Just once, one-on-one for 15 minutes, just to say, hey, you know, whatever, you've lived an amazing life. I'm just really, you know, impressed. I really am impressed.
I just want to find out if she's a smoker or not.
I think she was, like, for about 108 years.
The way that I read her is that she probably smokes a pack or two of unfiltered Luckies and drinks a bottle of Jack Daniels every day to get that voice.
Because her voice is just amazing.
It is an amazing.
I mean, the only guy
voice.
That sounds worse than that is Lemmy. You know, I mean,
Lemmy from Motorhead.
I kind of think she sounds a little bit like Harvey Fierstein.
She does. Yeah, she does indeed. She
You're
does.
Right. Hey, Chip, one other thing, too. You know, per usual, we're running way out of time.
Of course.
Here. But, you know, we talked yesterday. We were talking about some stuff and whatnot. And you grew up in a house in New York that was haunted. Am I correct?
I did.
Let's hear about this. I'm really curious to know were you born in this house or did you spend your first years in this house or did you move into this house from somewhere else?
No, actually, we moved into the house when I was 10 and lived there till I was 14. It was the home of an Irish immigrant family.
Mm-hmm.
And we bought the house in an estate sale after the last member of the Klan died out. And while we were living there, really weird things started to happen in the house. Lights would turn on and off by themselves, and we'd hear the piano playing, we heard footsteps, and even as far back as, and I'm confessing to how old I am now, we got EVP in that house that was crystal clear on an old reel-to-reel recorder back in 1967.
Wow. And that was
Oh my God, this is fantastic news. You are actually older than I am. I thought I was the oldest person in radio, or you know, in the field. Well, except for maybe John Zaffis.
You didn't say that out loud.
I hope he's listening tonight for that comment. I'm not taking the blame for that.
Well,
one.
Right now, Gowan of GHI and
he's
John
calling
Zaffis
John.
Are yeah, they're probably talking on the phone right now about how. You know, he probably forgot to take his pills. I don't know. There, when Gowan gets going on Jay-Z, I just think it's the funniest thing on the planet. But anyway, I did. I thought I was really old. But I was born in 67, which means if you were getting reel-to-reel recordings, I'm not the oldest one on this show.
Well,
and that makes me happy. So thank you.
Then let's put it this way. In 1967, I was 13, so get real happy.
Oh, my God.
Still,
real,
I think life,
happy,
life begins at 40. That's what I just
well,
learned.
And it began for me at 50 years ago. Let me tell you that. I rebirthed myself.
I had a nervous breakdown back in May. So I did. I had my 40-year-old nervous breakdown, I guess. And I don't know what to do. I think I'll just commit myself for my 50th year. If it's any harder than my nervous breakdown, oh my gosh.
Nah, you know what? I some days I get up and it feels like I'm, you know, 25 again, and other days it feels like I'm 125. So I just roll with the punches. But back to the house for a second.
Yes, sorry.
We digress. I will tell you that the house was investigated by a team of paranormal investigators from Cornell University, which was nearby.
Okay.
And they came to the conclusion, we already knew, I mean, it was like overstating the obvious, that yes, your house is haunted. And the activity went on in the house for the entire time we were there. They actually moved with us when we moved out of state. They gave us evidence that they had gone with us when we moved.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very interesting thing. I think that members of the Murphy clan, that Irish family, has moved around with me most of my life, and I wouldn't doubt that some of them still aren't around.
My goodness. And that was 4 years you lived there.
We lived in the house for 4 years, yes.
Doug?
Did you get any, like, documentation? Like, did Cornell actually give you a piece of paper saying these are our conclusions, or publish a report?
Was it a verbal thing?
Or was it a verbal thing?
It was mostly a verbal thing, and I know at one point in time we had some of the tapes that they did, but I mean, you're talking 30, 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow. You know, you're talking a long time ago, so those tapes could be probably anywhere right now, but we did have the audio tapes at one point in time with crystal clear children's voices and ambient noises of trains going by, the piano playing.
Oh, wow.
Dogs barking when there were no animals in our house. I mean, just some incredible, incredible EVP. Not like you have to, you know, this was just that they didn't have all the bells and whistles to filter EVPs back then.
No.
You just pushed play and you listen to what you got.
Yeah, and you hope for
and
the best.
These EVP were so crystal clear it sounded like you or I talking into the microphone.
It's time to buy reel-to-reel tape recorders.
No kidding.
Hey, Chip, this is it.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're at the top of the hour.
We're going to see you at UNIVCON. You are hosting it, right?
I am hosting UNIVCON. It's in October. Go to UNIVCON.org. All the information's there.
Yeah, actually, the dates here. I'll throw the dates out, of course. On the
do you have them on the website?
Well, our website isn't working. Well, I mean, it's working, but
but also
it just isn't responding correctly.
So UNIVCON.org, of course.
Yeah,
and
UNIVCON.org.
Then your website, Chip, is www.chipcoffee.com. That's C-H-I-P-C-O-F-F-E.
October 18th through October 21st. 2007, UNIVCON. Chip, we want to thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. It's been an absolute ball. We hope you enjoyed yourself also.
I had a great time with you two zany guys.
We're looking forward to meeting you next in October.
Yeah, don't leave us just yet. Hang on the line for 1 second, okay, Chip?
Perfect. Thank you, guys.
Man, no problem. Thanks. All right, man, that's it. Hey, guys, hey, another bonus show.
Yeah, thanks for
it's been a lot
listening
of fun,
on a Tuesday. I know, a Tuesday.
It's
my
fun
goodness,
going back. We haven't
so
done these
fun
bonus shows in a real long time. Like we used to do a lot of these things back in the day, and we've been just busy with all kinds of other stuff here, and it's been nice kind of going back and doing these bonus
it's
shows.
It's very enjoyable, and when you get to talk to people like Chip. And,
oh, yeah, it just makes it all worth it.
And we almost got to talk to Patty Starr, but I'm sure that'll be coming up.
It will be coming up, you have my word on.
You guys, our website is www.ghostlytalk.com. All the links that we talked about during the show are there.
Yes,
so
they
you can
are
always go there and get those links. We'll see you Sunday.
Yeah.
And thanks for listening.
We got a big surprise coming on Sunday. I'm going to be putting the schedule up, actually. Because, you know, it's one of the logistics are weird this month.
I know.
The schedule will be going up here probably in the next couple of days. I do have it completed, but I'm holding off.
I
won't lie.
And it is a surprise.
We got a fun weekend coming
so
up.
So check the website. Thanks for listening.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
Corrupt, I listen to now.
Thanks. I need to go someplace where I can see.
Balanced news coverage. Real people with real lives in your dramas and on your talk shows. And if we don't get it, We'll make it ourselves. Don't hate the media. Become the media.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
Don't hate the media, become the media.